among other children in the household. Okay? So making sure, again, that the kids were eating and that everybody had something to eat. And then in the largest families, it was pretty much restricted to just the kid who got the backpack. And probably that was the kid who was the most in need. We see that it also, we found that the backpack program was reaching the neediest of those families. These teachers, the program administrators, they knew who to target, and that they had that the program is having a big effect on the family's budget, particularly those who are experiencing the most severe forms of food insecurity. So those that would go without eating a meal, a parent that would go without eating a meal during the day and give up food for their children, they are the ones that are seeing the biggest effect on their daily budget versus those who have more, less severe forms of food insecurity. The school, the teachers in the schools tell us that it created what they call an ethos of care, that everyone got behind the program, that it instilled sort of a moral attitude within the school, that they felt that it was their civic duty to be engaged in the program, and it had a very, very positive effect. And I think that some of the things that we have learned from doing this evaluation is that giving the flexibility to the teachers and to the program administrators to be able to pick out those cases that they knew were in the most need rather than having a strict criteria was a very, very big benefit. And that we really found that they were reaching those students, those families that were most in need, and that really that this is, although it is a program that is targeted to children, that childhood hunger is really a family issue, and that the whole family is experiencing this at any given time.
That was Barbara Fees with the University of Illinois Family Resiliency Center. Up next, we'll hear from the Eastern Illinois Food Bank's Andrea Rundell.
We are serving by leaps and bounds many, 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 many more people as we turn around each year, up to about 100,000, over 100,000 people as of 2009, which is our last really good data with the hunger study. But we're coming up with some more hunger study data this very next year that's going to keep us all very busy. At the food bank, overwhelmingly, we are serving, children are about the biggest group of people that we are serving. Seniors are a very large group, people who are unemployed or underemployed. The average monthly income among all of our client households was just over $1,000 for a family of four when last we looked at that. Just over $1,000 for a family of four. And if you were looking at Larry's statistics, that's about closing in on 50% of the federal poverty level. So that isn't even that horribly low federal poverty level. It's half of that. That's what we call extreme poverty. One in four kids in Eastern Illinois are food insecure. So you'll notice, again, that's higher than that poverty level. That's because not everybody who's food insecure has that terribly low income. As several of our speakers pointed out, there are people who have incomes up to 185% or higher of the federal poverty level who are still experiencing food insecurity. And one in three of the food bank's clients is under 18 years of age. Right, so we know this is something we need to be dealing with. This is a concern that we have. Kids are disproportionately represented all across the board in having problems with hunger. So we have what we think of as our coordinated response to childhood hunger at this point, the Healthy Futures Initiative. Part of our Healthy Futures Initiative is our Food Mobile program. What we do is we get food out to hard-to-reach rural areas. We have a number of communities in our 14 counties where there just isn't any resource at all, no emergency food program to go to. And so what we do is we take the food to them. We load up a truck, take it out, and make sure that we're able to distribute it to people. And we found that, in fact, even more of the clients on our food mobiles our children than are actually people who are coming to our food pantries. So this has become a very important, a significant way for us to make sure we're getting to kids, because it's one of the ways that we still get out to the general population but hit kids at an even higher rate. But it's not one of the programs that we actually directly direct at children. The backpack program was the first program that we really put together to go after making sure we're hitting that target population of children. The target sites that we are working with right now, we are working with elementary schools that have 80 to 100% low-income rates. So 80 to 100% free and reduced income, free and reduced lunch rates in our 14 counties. Kind of hard to believe that we have that many out there, but we do. In fact, we have 25 sites right now that we're serving that way. And 950 to 1,000 children are currently weekly receiving that backpack full of food to go home on the weekend, and we are not meeting the need, even in the schools that we're in at this point. We're still expanding our way out to try and make sure we get there, but we're working on that. Last and most exciting, brand new. Here we are. So many of the lessons that Barb talked about from the backpack program, that being able to engage school staff and helping to identify kids in need and being able to make sure that we could get to those kids where they are, informed what we were trying to do with school pantries. So instead of having a backpack given to an elementary school kid, what we're doing is we're placing pantries on school campuses. Whereas elementary school kids are quite happy to be given a backpack full of food on the most part, their families might feel the stigma, but that's mitigated by the way we handle the program. The kids don't. High schoolers will not go for it. Right. High schoolers do not want anything to do with being identified by anybody as being poor and handed something. And so we have taken up a completely different approach to reach those kids, and it's putting a pantry on site at those schools and giving them the opportunity to access it on behalf of themselves and their families. And handing them that has made all the difference for being able to respect their dignity and their needs, their understanding of their own family's needs, and given them a great deal to be able to say, I'm doing this for my family, not I'm just being given something. And I'm not going to go on about it terribly. What I would like to do is ask Diane Hutchins to come up and talk about the Charleston High School pantry, because this is one of our pilot sites just this September. They're going to be serving up to 25 households each month, and the pilot year has been funded by United Way of Coles County. So, Diane?
I'm Diane Hutchins. I'm from Charleston High School. I am the principal there, have been for about 7 years, and I got a wish that came true this year when Andrea Rendell from the Eastern Illinois Food Bank contacted me about setting up a food pantry in my high school. And you know, I was confused at first because I thought, what is she wanting to do? Am I going to have, you know, the whole community or senior citizens trooping through my school? I really didn't know what she wanted at first. But then when she explained to me, she's talking about my kids, boy, my eyes got wide and my heart started thumping fast, because I am passionate about my kids and I'm passionate about their learning. And I know they can't learn if their bellies aren't full, if they're not hydrated, and all those kinds of things. I know that because I've been in this business for 26 years. So I got this little wish come true. This dream came true for me when Andrea said, okay, let's get together. So we got together, and my secretary and I sat down with Andrea, and we started finding more information. And the more we found out, the more excited I became, because of a lot of the information we've heard tonight, one of the things that really excited me was the idea of teenagers having choice over the foods that they might be able to take home for their families. And I know, after working with teenagers, that's so important. I know that because if I don't give them choices when it comes to the classes they want to take, or even the consequences for behavior that might not be what it should be. If I don't offer them choice, I don't get buy-in, okay? So choice is important. One of the other things that is so important is that this, a program like this has to be discreet, because they don't want to be identified as having the problem of not having enough food in their family. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for any of us when we have a problem that we don't have control over, but that we wish we did have control over. You know, we talked earlier about it's easy to tell with younger children when they have a problem with hunger. They will sometimes even come up to their teachers and say, "I'm hungry," or "Can I have that cookie," or "whatever's left over," or "I didn't get to eat breakfast today." Teenagers don't do that. What do teenagers do? Sometimes they steal food. Sometimes when food's available, they hoard it. Lots of times they don't even step foot in the cafeteria. They find another place in the building to hide. Sometimes they keep themselves from making friends. And we notice it that way because we have a student that just never makes friends with anybody in the building. And we wonder what the problem is. And we find out eventually that that's part of the problem. They don't want their friends to know that their family is not like every other family. They don't make friends because they don't want people to know that they don't have food. We find out because we try to contact the parents about different things, and we have inaccurate contact information. And part of the reason why is because they move a lot. They move a lot for a lot of reasons, but when kids move a lot, when their family is very mobile, it's because they're homeless, because they have problems keeping a place to live, which also means there's probably a problem with food. Anyway, back to the food pantry. These are the ways we find out that kids are hungry. But now, we have a little bit of a solution, at least for 25 households, and we've started the food pantry, and I got to admit, we messed up when we started, Andrea. You know we did. You got a phone call today. But we messed up because we contacted all the kids that we thought qualified according to our definitions, and that's the other beautiful thing about this program. We don't have to have a paper where it says what's your family income, how many people are in the family, you know, do you wear plaid clothes, do you wear checkered clothes, do you wear stripes, whatever the form or the format is. We as teachers and administrators and people in the building make the decisions based on those other things that I talked about. We know who in our building is hungry by just knowing our kids. So that's the beauty of the program. We figure out who's hungry, and we make those decisions. Okay, so we talk to the different kids that we identified through a team of people we have in our building that meets every other week to talk about any kind of problem kids have. We got together about 3 weeks ago, and we said, okay, we got this program.